It's that time again, guys. It is time for another episode of the Football Coaches Podcast. I'm here with my man, Coach Casey. I am Coach Stock. And today, guys, we got something big coming. We see it a lot. We see it especially in my offense. I definitely line up in this a lot. We're going to talk trips, but we're going to talk it from a defensive standpoint. All right? So today we're going to talk, well, Coach Casey is going to talk about his base trips coverage checks. Now, he calls them something different. You know, he has his own family that he uses. So he's going to refer to them today as stump and stump. I know that's kind of a tongue twister, stump and stump. Oh, all right. But he's going to get right into it, guys. He's going to tell you everything you need to know. Remember. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at Coach W Stock. Follow my man, Coach Kaysen, at First Gen Coach. That is the number one STGN coach. And also, guys, we do have our football channel, on YouTube. It is Both Sides of the Ball. Go. Definitely watch some videos of us on there. We kind of talk some in-depth stuff, some different things, a little bit more visual, obviously, because it's a football channel. But I'm going to stop talking because it's not my time to talk today. We're going to let Coach Kaysen take it away with his base trip checks.
Thank you for the introduction, Coach. Let's get into talking about our base coverage against trips formations, okay? So the first thing before we get into the actual coverage that I want to make sure is understood and you need to think about as a defensive coach is why do offenses get into trips formations? So trips formations is obviously three receivers on one side of the field, typically to the field side, so not in the boundary. We can talk into the boundary on a later date. And for this, for the majority of this podcast, we're going to talk mainly 10 personnel, three receivers detached to the trip side. So the first thing the offenses are looking for is it's unbalancing. It's an unbalanced formation. So it's not unbalanced in the you know, a lot of us hear the words unbalanced and we think, you know, tackle over or put the tight end on the line, two guys on one side of the line, the backside guy so they can push it. You know, those kind of wacky formations. This is one of the more conventional ways to get unbalanced, but at the same time, it's still an unbalanced front because, you know, we have hypothetically seven guys that can get on to the field and only four, you know, including the offensive lineman, you know, the receiver on the backside, if there's a back over there or not, to the boundary. So it's not even. So the first thing they do is try to, this is especially for one high teams that want to be in a balanced front. Is they're going to unbalance you. They want to see what you're going to do when they unbalance themselves, what type of things the defense is going to react. All right. And compounding on that, formations force the defense. I don't want to say force because we can flip this on its head once we get there, but defenses have to decide what they're going to defend in a trips open formation. Okay. So they're putting three receivers, giving you the unbalanced three receivers over to the immediate passing vertical threats to the field. You know, they're putting typically their best receiver on the backside into the boundary and trying to see if you'll give them a one-on-one, whether or not you're going to decide, you know, to give them that one-on-one. And then if you do both of those things, so if I decide to put, you know, I decide to outnumber them to the trips and outnumber them to the single receiver side, I'm probably giving up something in the core for the run game. So it's a decision that needs to be made that the offense is trying to dictate by their formation. Now we as defensive coaches need to flip that on its head and let it decide what we want. If that makes sense. So if we want to give up some of the core or where we want to give it up to, you know, you don't want to give up the core if you're going against a team that has a really great running back but doesn't have the personnel to throw the ball well enough or to catch the ball well enough or to outflank you in certain situations, okay? So, like, you don't – you. But if you were to face an offense that you feel comfortable with your box or you have a plan for the box and the trips open, but they have a lot of, you know, a lot of good receivers or they go to the field a lot based on game plan or things of that nature, you want to make sure you cover the field. Or if they have, like, you know, the all-star on the backside as an X receiver, you need to make sure you double them. So But if you double them, you know, that's where the trips formation comes in. But you have to flip that on its head and understand, what are you going to give up? And, you know, with quotations, what are you going to give up? What are you okay with? What do you want to make them play left-handed? So how are we going to do that? The second, you know, they can also, what the offensive does when it comes to the trip side is it allows them to attack three levels. So most two-man concepts can only attack you either vertically stretched or horizontally stretched. If you think about it, like double outs or smash concept is stretching you vertical, or double outs is only stretching you horizontal, or stick from two-by-twos, you know, not really going to stretch you, only going to stretch you horizontally, or a spacings route or curl, those type of things. You know, a Hank concept where it's a flat by two and number one runs a curl route, you're only being pushed horizontally in those aspects. With three guys, they can now create three levels of receiving threats. So they can have a deep threat, a intermediate threat, and a horizontal threat because they have those three guys. And they can, on the same time, stretch you horizontally and vertically at the same time. So you have to be cognizant of that. And compounding on that, they can flood the strong side zones with the three receivers. So if you went three over three, if they flood the zones in a true like sense of a flood, vertical, intermediate, and things that threaten, you have three guys, one of those guys are going to most likely come open. And it allows them to, in a myriad of ways, flood that field side with receivers to where you need to push over. And that's where the backside guy would come in. Okay, if there's any questions on why offenses get into those trips formations or some of those terms that I use, just go ahead and shoot me a direct message on Twitter at First Gen Coach, or go to my site, send me an email, anything that is comfortable for you. I want to make sure that we're completely on the same, because there's so many semantics in football. I want to make sure we're on the same language stretch. So the second question before we get into the base coverage is, you know, as a defense, why do you want a base coverage? You know, why do you need to have a base trips coverage? Well, the first thing I would say, you know, was, and this answer kind of goes with some of the things we already talked about, that a trips coverage is a little bit different animal than doubles because of the ability to push you vertically and intermediately. So we need to account for that. So if we were to line up three over three to the three receiver set, either, you know, in routes or a bubble or something like that, one of those guys are going to get out leveraged just off of their leverage because there's not a fourth guy in that sense. But we want to have a base coverage so that we can very quickly get into our stuff, and it's close enough to our doubles, our two receiver or our tight end receiver set coverages that isn't that far off marginally to teach, and allows us to be safe with what we're giving up, and not just what we're giving up, what we're taking away, and how we're aligning in the techniques that we're teaching. So the way I look at it is this, is I want to have a base trips coverage and not have three coverages that we all play the same because of this. If I have a base coverage and say I run it, you know, 60% of the time that you go to trips, I'm in this coverage. All right. And we're going to go off. We just have three trips coverages. This is our base coverage. Just, you know, base coverage X to trips adjustment is we're going to run it 60% of the time. And the other two coverages, we're only going to run those both 20%, the other 20% of the time, 20% each to fill up that 100% of reps that you have as a trips adjustment, trips, you know, trips plays. The first thing that's going to happen is, we're going to get marginally better at our base coverage than if we were to compare it to say, hey, we run three base, you know, three trips coverages. We call all of them equally 33% each. We rep them all 33% each. So now we have three coverages that we're only 33% well-versed at to handle all the things. That would be the first thing I would say. The second thing is that 60% not only allows us to get really good at what we're doing, but the other two coverages are going to make up for what our base coverage lacks, wherever our base coverage lacks. So if we're running a base and we're running any coverage at all, and you're teaching it to your kids, they need to know the weaknesses. They need to know what to expect when you get into this coverage is because the other guys aren't bad. You're not going to go against poor. You know, we're not planning to beat the poor teams. We're planning to beat the best team in our league. And the best team, the best offense coordinator in the league, or the best team is going to have an idea of how to attack every trips coverage, every single coverage that you have. But you got to know what your coverage can handle really well and what it doesn't handle really well. So now you can rep those things as much as possible. And then you build in the other two coverages that you're only running 20%. So you're not going to be as good at those coverages as you are your base. But that's okay because those coverages build off of what you do as a base. So this coverage will take away what your base gives up. So they think you're in your base. And then you know, at the last second, you either stem or post snap, you move into that base. You get in there. And the last thing about it is it allows you to defend. Your base coverage is going to defend what you see most. So if you see, you know, whatever that coverage is, you know, whatever those things are in your area specifically, you want to build that base coverage and be able to quickly call it and know your players know that they're getting into it and how good it is against whatever you're actually seeing, whatever that type of concepts are. So we're going to go ahead and get into our base trips coverage, and we, like Coach Stockling alluded to earlier, we call it stomp, and the signal for us is, you know, we stomp on the ground, makes it really quick. All of our trips coverages start with an S, so that fits into the families, allows them to understand what they're getting really quickly, what to get into, and what they should be doing. If you've ever, you know, studied Saban's tree, they refer to this as stump, so it's not, you know, it's going to be too much different than that. But this is a good way to really break it down and teach you, you know, go through how we install it and what we teach our players and tell them to understand inside of this coverage. I actually learned it from the Mike Stoops and Brent Vittables tree, and they called it lock. And if you're from TCU, you know, verbiage, they call it special. So it's got a bunch of names, and, you know, a lot of teams run it. And they run it a little differently. But, you know, today we're going to break down how we do it. So I'm actually going to start inside out from our mic to our field safety to our star, and then lastly at our corner on that trip side of the coverage. And before we do that, we need to kind of base, make sure we have the same language in what we call our receiver. So we call the furthest receiver the number one, and he's usually going to be on the numbers or outside of the numbers in a trips formation. We call the second receiver that is furthest from the ball is going to be our number two, and then our number three is going to be that guy that's closest to the slot. So number two is going to be roughly on the hash or outside the hash, and number three is going to be roughly on the hash or inside the hash. You know, typically, you know, it changes some, but we're going to try to keep it as base first day camp as much as possible going into this. So our mic is actually going to be a run fitter as a base rule in the B gap, but he's going to be hipped to the five technique. So he's going to be hipped to the defensive end, you know, outside in that C gap area in the tightest. And if number three is really far detached, like nearly on the hash, and two and three are really tight on the hash or something, he's going to stretch out even further and really apex those two. So he's going to still be a B-gap fitter, but his job is to relate to three. So it's really quick carryover from our base coverage because that's the exact same rule and verbiage he gets in his base coverage is to relate to three. He's going to put, you know, he's going to put his hip on the bottom hip of number three and wall him off into the safety and squeeze number three into the seams of the seams of the field. But when we're going to talk more about later, once we've installed the coverage, what we're going to do to help mitigate the fact that he is a B-gap fitter as well. Because if you think about it, if number three was to run a hitch and then they ran power weak into the, you know, the weak side of the defense, the mic is in conflict. He is our conflicted player because if he fills really quickly into that B gap, they're going to pop a little hitch on it, and then he's going to be one-on-one with our field safety. But if he sits and hangs, what we call hanging, and he's a coverage-to-action player in that sense, we're going to be short a guy in the gap fit. Okay, so we're going to revisit back to him, but that's his rule, relate to three. He's going to wall three up to field safety. Okay. If number three goes out, he's going to find the new number three, do the same exact thing. So then our field safety is going to be 10 by 0, so 10 yards deep, and head up on a detached number three. If number three is a tight end and in the core of the offense, he's going to be 2 yards outside. So he is going to be our mod of three player. So to discuss what mod for us means man on demand. So if number three is to carry vertically, you know, pushing past the Mike backer and pushing past the first set of backers in front of him, including the star in this situation, he's going to be 5 yards. But that's jumping ahead a little bit. He has him vertically. So he'll have all of them on a bender or post route or anything like that. He has all of number three. Now, if number three is to go to the flat or go immediately sit down in front of the backer and become the backer's job, you know, or pushes like a sneak route across to the wheel or whatever, anything that's not deep, so he doesn't have them on demand, he's not deep, he is going to snap his eyes to number one and number two and take top down whoever comes into the post. So whoever's deepest into the post area, he is going to help handle them top down, basically robbing what, you know, a lot of folks call robbing the post or whatever. All right, and so that really shows why it's really important for the Mike to squeeze number three into him so that the number three isn't running directly straight at him like it's a catch man. We don't want to make it a catch man type of situation. We want to give him that underneath help with the Mike wall and three. All right, so we're going to cut back out to the corner real quick and then come back to the star, and that'll help teach it a little bit better. Our corner is going to be 7x1 inside of number one. If number one's really in tight, we may, you know, push it out to the field. If number one is really, really far out there, we'll bring the, you know, we won't go past, you know, we won't go past the bottom of the numbers in that sense. A lot of people ask me this. As a philosophically, I am a press coverage guy. So people often ask, you know, the second you get into a trips coverage, the offense gets into a trips formation, you are getting out of, you know, what you think is your bread and butter and what is the, you know, philosophy of your defense. And I say, you know, to them, you know, to that answer is that the reason we get into a press is two main reasons. It disrupts the release timing. You know, it can add that half a second in the pass rush, disrupts the release timing, and we're forcing the offensive receivers to labor and not work on air. But also, it really vanillas what type of routes we're going to get. We're either usually going to get a quick slant, you know, going in, or we're going to get that deep ball, that vertical route concept. So knowing that, it allows us to get really, really good at those concepts. So when you go to a trips, what people fail to realize is, especially in a high school game where our quarterbacks, you know, if we take the average high school quarterback and we add in the fact that the hashes are only 17 and 3/4 yards each apart from each other, so it's equal thirds, that's going to be 2/3 of the field from, you know, if he's on the left hash, 2/3 of the field is going to be to his right. And if you add those 2/3 of the field, you go 17 yards, you go roughly 10, you know, a little bit more than 10 if we're outside of the numbers, just a little bit outside of the numbers from the hash. And then you add the fact that it's 20 yards downfield, he has to throw that ball. Not many guys can make that throw. So what tends to happen is not many guys attempt that throw. Number one in trips doesn't get the ball nearly, and that isn't, you know, they don't get the ball nearly as much as number two and number three. And that's not exclusive to the high school game. There's a statistical, you can look up the analysis on it, that in college game and in the pro game, number one in trips gets the ball like vastly less than. So the last thing we want to do is press him and waste our corner. So basically make it into 3-on-2. So we can make it, that corner can help. So he's going to have vision. We're going to allow him to have vision being off, okay? So his job is to mod one. So we talked about what the field safety is modding three. His job is to mod one. So basically, if number one comes vertical and pushes him vertical past the star, he's going to handle them all one on. He's going to handle them expecting no help, top down, inside, one-on-one. He's got him all the way. He's going to handle him, match him up. Now, if the number one goes immediately inside, he's not going to have him. Or if number one is to take two steps and then drop to his hitch, that's why we're allowing the corner to be 7 yards off and have vision. If he doesn't do that, he's going to do basically the invert. You know, if number one goes short or inside really quickly, he's going to do the inverse of what our field safety does. He's going to flip and snap his eyes to 2 and 3 as he gains depth. So he's gaining depth to help. If either one of those guys go vertical, he can now help on it. All right. His big key, though, the corner's big job in this coverage is to help out the star. So the corner has two calls that he has to be screaming if he gets them, okay? They're called a hunt and an undercall. And we have two calls for a significant reason. Both of them are talking when number one isn't vertical. So now it's telling everybody in the defense, and the star especially, that number one is not, you know, he doesn't need to be handled by the corner because he's not going deep. He's not man on demand. Okay, and what a hunt call is, the hunt are for hitches and quick little outs. It's going to tell the star to flip his hips and go hunt and find number one and man him up. And the corner is going to gain depth and try to get to number two or three vertical and help out whichever way. He's going to look for work at that point, all right? He's going to be looking for work. He's going to read the departure of 2 and 3 and handle them vertically. So if they were to run a one by, you know, one runs a hitch and number two runs a corner route, he can now very easily get under it, okay? And the other one is going to be an undercall. So an undercall is going to be when number one goes immediately inside. So he goes immediately inside on a sneak, on a shallow, on a slant pattern, on a quick spot down sit, a slant stop, whatever you call those things. Anything where he's breaking into the star. So if he's heading into the star going short immediately, he's going to give an undercall to the star. And he's going to do the exact same thing he does on a hunt. He's going to gain depth and look for two or three going vertical, trying to help out. Mainly on two. Make sure we cover that number two vertically because we have a guy if number three goes vertical. All right, so he's going to gain depth and push into number two's vertical departure. So lastly, we're going to talk through our star before we talk about what we like about the defense and what we don't like, you know, what do we like about the coverage and what the weaknesses are of the coverage. All right, so the star rules is first to the flat. He's going to be 5 by 1 outside of number two, looking first to flat. So the first guy that goes to the flat at a 2 and 3, he takes him. He's going to man him up top down, and he's all of that guy. He has all of that guy for the rest of the down. Now, where the hunt and the under come in is really important for him, because if the corner, you know, if the number one that the corner is modding goes on a hitch, he is going to get the hunt call, and the hunt call is going to take him off a first of the flat at 2 or 3, and he's going to flip his hips to the one and go find and hunt down number one and man him up top down. Okay. If he gets an under, it's going to be the same thing, except now he doesn't have to flip his hips. He's going to snap his eyes out to one and man him up top down because the guy's coming for him. So he's running to him to help him out. And if he were to bail back out, you know, if he was to whip back out into the flats really quickly, it's a long throw that he'll be able to get under and make a play on. So we're not worried about that too much. Now the caveat becomes gets 2 and 3 vertical. So if he gets 2 and 3 vertical and gets no hunt or undercall, the star must carry number two vertically. So if you think about it, you know, one goes vertical, it pushes him out. He can't get a smash call, so there's not short there. Number three's vertical. Now the free safety's on top. The mic's underneath. He's completely apexed. Number two, you know, is going to be running vertically as well. And there's going to be no one for him, if you think about it, because the corner's not going to depth and gain and get on number two because he has his own vertical to handle. He's manned up on one vertically first. So the star has to, if he gets 2 and 3 and he gets no call, he has to take number two vertically. So that's something you have to work on, obviously. That's probably the hardest thing you have to work on in this coverage as far as new learning, because it has to be made sure that if there's any gray area, he sticks to two. I would rather him give up a 5-yard hitch where the corner and the star can come work down on than he sag off at number two
and there's no under or hunt call, and now number two's running wide, and that's not that difficult of a throw. We want to make the quarterback make the toughest throw. So what I really like about the coverage and why we install it first thing is it's four over three into the field side, especially in the high school and college game. There's so much more field than there is boundary, and we want to push all the live bodies into the field so the offense has to work out of less space. So they either have to go into the core or they have to decide to throw into the boundary at an X receiver or at a really good receiver for whatever they decide to do. All right, it's really great versus screens, and it's something we see a lot of. So that's going back to defend what you see a lot, see the most. So we're going to run down what all screens to all three of the guys to show you further, show you why we like them against screens. So number three runs a bubble, and two has to decide to block the star or the mic. We'll go through both of them. He blocks the star on the first one, we'll say he blocks the mic on the first one. And so now the star has the outside leverage, hit the bubble freely. He's fine as well. The corner is going to have good vision, and the field safety is going to see three go flat, and it allows him to quickly snap his eyes to two and one, so he can see what's happening and he can get into the fit of the screen as well. And then if the number two was to go and try to block the star, or if one was to try to block the star, or if it doesn't really matter. We're going to have them outnumbered, but we're going to talk through them. So number two goes to block the star. He should have outside leverage. He's going to press and stay outside leverage on it, and he has a good leverage position to help push the screen, the bubble, back in to the mic and the field safety, who are going to be free. They're not going to have anybody blocking them because number one's blocking the corner in this situation. So then if the corner was to, say, come crack block on the star and against three bubble, we're also still in a really good position because we're not pressing the corner. He has vision to see him come press down, and now he becomes a secondary force. And I still have the field and Mike working inside out to handle the inside hip of him. So we have a guy on the inside hip, outside hip. We're vicing the tackle again. If number two or number one was to run a key screen or a screen coming back, again, we're going to run through them. Our star has outside leverage, so he has to get underneath number two, which is going to leave three having to decide, number three deciding who he's going to block. So it doesn't, regardless of who he blocks, either way. So number two is going to block out on our star. And our corner is going to have the vision to see one go immediately inside because it's basically a man on the man call. So he can now snap his eyes to two. Two's not vertical, and he's going to work and gain vision to help get there, to help add himself to the fit. Now, whoever doesn't get blocked, whether it's the mic or the field safety, he's going to handle it, that thing underneath. Typically, how I think it's going to be blocked is the number two comes and blocks out the corner, and then number three comes and blocks out the star. And if that's the case, two blocks out the corner, and the star's going to widen out with him. Three comes to block out him. He keeps him outside. And now we should have numbers. It shouldn't be a good look for him because we should have numbers on the inside hip, on the outside hip, with the field safety and the mic again. So we really like it versus screens, which is a lot of what people get into three receiver sets for. We talked about it before, but the corner has vision. I really like it, the corner having vision, and he can see those things like screens, like number two vertical, and it allows you to better handle a lot of the coverage, a lot of the big offensive concepts you're going to see at a trips formations. All right, the last part of it is it keeps the boundary safety in the boundary. So a lot of teams kick that boundary safety over to the field to handle three vertically, but we have somebody to handle one, two, and three vertically, so we don't need to do that. We can keep the boundary in the backside, and that allows us to keep, because he's on the backside and we have safeties on both sides of the field, that allows us to stay in a split field coverage. So what that means is we could be running stomp to the strong side, and to the boundary side, we could be running a myriad of coverages, all right? And that's going to help us mitigate the mic being conflicted. That's the big key. One of my favorite things about it allows us to run just so many more stunts and coverage options on the backside. It's incredibly versatile. Okay, so let's go through two of them really quickly to show you why they work really well and why being split field really helps. And they're both going to come from the corner. So we are going to run a corner blitz. And So he's coming off the edge. That's a C-gap player. That's a C-gap fitter, you know. And our because every time they hear that corner blitz, whatever you want to call it, you call it a chop, you call it whatever you want to call it, we'll call it chop for now. That tells the D-line that they're slanting to the string. So that's going to put our five into the B on the weak side. That's going to put our three tech into the A on the weak side. It's going to put our nose into that strong B and get rid of that and push that conflict away from the mic. It's going to push them straight into coverage. So now our mic can be a coverage to action player instead of an action to coverage player. And that's really important. So if the reason it can do that is because if all those gaps in the backside are pushed out, you know, they're all filled up and we have a backer there, he has no fit, he can push into the strong side A and we don't lose our numbers. And the last part of that being our boundary safety who's staying on that boundary side is now going to man up number one. All right, and then our will in this sense is going to tempo the back whichever way he goes. He'll have him manned up. What's great about that is that the players don't have to. Our defensive line doesn't have to know. They hear chop, and they know that they're slanting to the strong side. There's no if and buts about it. So it allows us to stack those calls and really get a lot of tools in the toolkit for a little bit of teaching. The other way you can do it is to run a trap flat. So you trap the corner, you're given a slant call, so slant strong. So for us, it'd be base, slant, four, stomp, cut. So really, well, we would end up making a call to make that real quick, but so we wouldn't have that long verbiage. But we'd make that call, and it would help the backers. They would know. So they would know the cut's coming. They can push it out. You know, cuts on the backside, so my will is going to tell the line to slant. It's going to be really quick. We're going to work on making sure we can get that in, and we can make it one word if we want to. And what that's going to do is put our corners first to flat on the weak side. Our safety is going to be deep half. The boundary safety is going to be a deep half player on that side, so she's going to handle number one. That means we'll also have a guy inside and over top of number one and underneath of number one, so that'll help out if he's really good, if you don't want to double him, because we could double him. But and then that's going to do the same exact thing. So five goes into the B, three goes into the A, nose goes into the B on the strong side. Backside's completely fitted up, allows the will to push into the A on the strong side, which pushes the mic all the way out of the coverage. And that's one way to really handle, help deal with RPOs. So that's something I wanted to add in there at the end to give you a quick answer and why we have a base. It really all comes back to why we have a base. So that's going to be our base install for our stump coverage. If you have any questions, you can hit me on Twitter at FirstGenCoach. That's 1STGenCoach. You can go on my website. It's First Generation Coach. There's a lot of articles on there. You can send me an email or anything right there. Ask any questions. I'm readily available for you guys. I want to help young coaches out just like I was helped out as a young coach. I really want to accelerate the growth of coaches to help our youth, help our kids, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's really our mission. You know, with this thing, not only just to talk ball, you know, in these tough times, but to make sure we're just improving coaching and improving everything as much as we can and giving back to the game. So that's all I got for you guys. You stay safe. Have a great day.